Hey, welcome to Let's Stop There. I got two words for you this week, folks. Fan fiction. Another two words. Brace yourself.
What's it mean? I don't know. It's a show.
Hey, welcome back to Let's Stop There. I'm Austin Hanna.
Hi, I'm Ganesh Sarma.
Hi, I'm Shane Burklow.
And this week we are reading fan fiction. No occasion. Usually there's a holiday associated. Is there any holidays coming up? Anything that we could...
March Madness.
It's March Madness fan fiction.
Today is a holiday.
What's today?
Today's Leap Day.
Oh, well, it won't be when this comes out, but this is Leap Day fan fiction recorded on a genuine Leap Day. Welcome to the show. I'm relieved it's time for fan fiction. The books lately have been hot and heavy.
Yeah, and our fan fiction episodes are historically tame.
Well, it's not even, it's just they're quick, in and out. It can get hot and heavy, but you can bail quick and move on to the next thing. Keep moving.
You don't like the in and out, but you like the in and out with the fan fiction.
Yes. I like different kinds of in and outs, and I have different opinions on it. The fast food chain ranks lowest.
I meant in and out, like the hot and steamy books.
I know. In and out, like sex, I rank number two beneath in and out reading a book quickly, and third place is in and out cheeseburgers. And when I think of a fourth in and out, I will rank that appropriately. Welcome back to the show. Sorry to waste all.
What about when you enter a door?
Oh, that's pretty good. That keeps my life going. I think I rank that number one. If I was in exiting or entering doors, I'd be dead.
Over sex?
Yeah. Because of what? If you, okay. I mean,
wow.
Let's be.
This man really loves his doors.
I mean, I don't want to.
I knew I would get him tripped up on doors.
I think that I'm in the right. If you had to pick between exiting or entering a door, any door for the rest of your life or having sex,
you would choose sex. I'm choosing the
sex.
You'd
be locked
in
a room
yeah.
for the rest of your life
yep.
having sex?
Yep. That sounds ideal. With my wife, of course.
But she can leave
about?
And come and go. You're just some sort of nasty, dirty little freak
do
locked
I got
in the.
Do I got a TV in there?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, then I'm fine. Someone can bring me my meals.
Wow. Ganesh is on record as he would choose sex over the concept of using a doorway, an opening in a wall. All right. That's not how it ranks on my list.
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Doesn't everyone just want to be like stuck in a little dungeon and be a little sex toy?
I'm sure I'm not the only one, he says. You're
sorry
right.
for my whole... honesty.
Okay. I'm sure your wife wouldn't like that.
Well, she can leave.
Yeah, but you can't, like, where do you go to the bathroom?
Doesn't matter.
You don't go to the bathroom or take a shower.
I would have to call in contractors to come install some stuff in this room.
Wait, you're getting around the no doors rule by calling in contractors to build you an infinite house-sized room?
Yeah.
This is bullshit. This wasn't part of the deal. All right, well, this is stupid, okay? This is really stupid right off the bat.
That's fan fiction. It's fiction of our... minds.
That's true. That's the next Let's Stop There fan fiction. Ganesh in his nasty hovel, just having sex and filth.
Don't say hovel.
Well, it's a hovel when you don't leave. I think that's part of it. Okay. I'm done talking about that. Do I have to keep saying Phil's on the show now? Let's do it one more time. One more time for good measure. Two episodes. Phil Karstetter is our new producer / fact checker / I'm going to say it again. Ombudsman. He is the voice of reason.
How do you spell that?
Ombudsman.
Oh, I was way off.
It's Phil Karstetter, folks. Welcome to the show, Phil. He's the fourth mic now on Let's Stop There.
Hi, thank you. Still don't know what that word means, but I appreciate it.
You just Google it. I defined it quite clearly last time. Listen, the fact checker already fucking doing great. That's the first fact you have to check. What are you? What's your job?
He did Google.
Why are you here?
He Googled.
Where'd you come? Why are you show up?
Producer.
What does producer editor mean? Phil's been editing the recent episodes, some saying better than Ganesha ever was.
Are you fucking kidding me right now, dude?
You're the only one saying that.
It's just word around the water cooler at the Let's Stop There corporate.
Yeah.
I don't know who said it or where it's coming from.
You're going to drive Ganesh into an early grave.
If I hear somebody saying that, I'll say it. Don't you dare say it. About
you say it.
I'm just telling you what's going around.
You're the one spreading this around.
I never said anything like it.
You just did to everyone listening.
I just report what I hear.
This is the thanks I get.
No.
7 years. 7 years of my weekends.
Ganesh did a great job. 7 years worth. And now he's headed for an early retirement. And Phil is here doing the hard work for not a lot of reward.
Don't forget who's still pulling the strings. All right.
Is it you? There's strings to pull here?
Yes. And I'm pulling them.
Okay. Well, maybe pull something different next time. See what he gets us. All right.
He's pulling enough. All right.
Yeah. Pulling a hamstring. Okay.
What does that even mean?
Well, this episode is
pulling a hamstring. It's a leg thing.
Yeah. You don't know what you never heard a hamstring?
Jesus Christ. All right. How's everyone else doing?
It's not lunch. It's a leg thing.
It's a hamstring. Ganesh just had like a comical belly rumble when he heard hamstring. Yummy. I'll take two. All right.
Sometimes you tie ham up with a little string. When I was a kid, I thought that's what it was.
That's true. If you ever go buy like a salami from the butcher, it has a little string around it. And you say to them, is this my hamstring? And they say, get out of here. No, it's leg stuff.
You're telling me Nick Van Exel tore that?
You're telling me he's out for 6 weeks because he tore the little string around his hand? I don't know a lot about butchery, but it don't make sense to me.
Next. Keep it moving.
God damn.
This guy thinks he's pulling the hamstrings over.
Not a lot of Van Exel fans in this podcast.
Okay, fine. What are we at? 7-8 minutes of personal time? I guess we could cut it early. Well, what's new with you? How's it going? Ganesh, you had COVID. You feeling better?
I had COVID. I am feeling better. I'm getting out, getting out of the house, mingling.
Using doors.
I have gone through doors. I've gone outside.
Okay.
I've come back inside.
Wow. And everything's gone fine.
Yes.
You said you had an ear infection too.
Damn, really?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Ganesh is a mess.
Yeah.
He's in a bad way.
Your ear gooping?
Kind of like me a couple weeks ago.
You got goop coming out of there?
I'm sorry, goop?
Yeah, you got that bad ear infection. That happens sometimes, dude. It happened to me.
I have not had goop come out of my ears. I feel like I have the opposite problem. Everything's stuck.
He's got goop going into it. He's putting goop in by the bucket load.
You're right. I am.
Well, okay. You got to explain what that means. You have the opposite problem. Things are going in your ears?
No, it feels like my head is full of goop and no goop is coming out.
Yeah, you got to get that goop out. That's what the doctor will say.
You ever think it would feel really good to have like a doctor just take a big vacuum cleaner to your ears?
Yeah, I would love that. They do that. You know, they'd have little ear vacuum cleaners. That's real.
Like for personal use?
No, doctors have to do it. You can't be trusted to stick a damn Hoover in your ear.
I got to say, I did buy this thing off an Instagram ad a couple years ago. That's like it's like an ear pick that's got a camera on it.
Oh,
you can hook it up to your phone and see what's in your ear.
Oh, you showed me that, dude. That looks scary.
What do you see in there?
It's pretty nasty, dude. It's pretty gross.
Where else could you put that?
You could use that in all kinds of places.
For ears only. It says in big letters on it.
For ears only. This is not medically graded for butt, it says in big letters.
You could look at all kinds of stuff with that.
They're just covering their bases legally. You could put that camera any which way but loose. Wait, you said something that piqued my interest, and then we started talking about sticking a camera up your butt. I don't know. Oh, nah, I don't know. I lost it. Okay, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
Shane, how are you doing? You've been sick? Me and Ganesh have been deathly ill over the last couple of weeks. I think you're next.
I've had my run-ins.
Oh. Oh, that's...
No, I wasn't feeling too great last weekend.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were sick. Man, we've all been sick. Now it's Phil's turn.
No.
Yep. It's coming.
Phil's strong as an ox.
Phil's going to get the Poughkeepsie cough sooner or later.
Oh, my knee is still fucked up from when I slipped on that papaya down in Jamaica. It's giving me a nasty click.
That is...
thanks. What?
That's a story. Well, okay. You got to expand on what happened.
Oh, no, that's pretty much it. I was just walking and I slipped on a papaya and I landed on my knee. Been hurt ever since.
In Jamaica, the island? On the island of Jamaica?
It happened to be.
Not Jamaica, Queens.
No, not Jamaica, Queens.
Not Queens.
Okay. Could have happened there too, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
Like a cartoon character, you slipped and fell on a papaya. Okay.
I immediately sprung up and apologized to everyone that saw that.
I would have applauded. I would have liked, this is, wow, dinner ain't a show. This is what I'm looking for when I'm on vacation.
Yeah, you should have bowed.
Yeah. Ask for tips. Put your cap out.
It felt very Mario Kart-like, you know, like a banana peel that I just slipped on.
Yeah, somebody hit you with the papaya, dodging blue shells.
Yeah.
You should have started screaming, I'm going to sue. I'm going to sue.
Yeah, that's, you should have.
That's how they get you to come back.
You'd get like a free dinner.
Yeah, or a free papaya at least. All right. Well, I guess that's it. That's it for personal time. It's time to do fan fiction. Time to get into the real meat and potatoes. Untie that hamstring. Get into the good stuff. There's no synopsis because it's fan fiction. So what do you want? You just want to go in? You want to jump in? You ready? You ready?
Yeah, we're going to ease into it. And I mean it this time.
We're going to ease. Oh, so this, you're on the record of saying this one is not going to be dirty or nasty. It's going to be cool with a capital C.
It's actually cool with a capital K because it's rated K for kids, or Kinder if you're German.
Wow. All right, shout out to the German fans. Okay,
what's Kinder means kids, so Kinder Bueno is like good kid.
Yeah, wow, you did it in two languages. And kindergarten just means a garden of children. How about that? How's that settle sit with you?
Oh no,
nasty. Picking them up like cabbages and taking a big bite.
Turnips.
All right, we'll be right back with fan fiction. See you around the bend.
You should see this cabbage I've been eating today.
Holy moly, what a sentence.
Biting into it like an apple.
It's huge. No, I had some for lunch in a salad, and then I had some for dinner in udon noodles.
I gotta tell you, did you buy this cabbage at the grocery store?
Yeah.
I've been buying cabbage recently. They sell cabbage in such large quantities. It's like, how do you finish a cabbage?
They're heavy, too.
Yeah. I bought a half a head of cabbage the other day to make with some bratwurst, and I would force myself to make the whole thing, half a head of cabbage for two. It was way too much cabbage. Naomi was like, what are you doing?
Pop that extra cabbage in a stew.
I guess, but I was so, I've thrown away so much cabbage that I was like, I'm just gonna knock this thing out. I'm gonna eat all this cabbage, and I ate it. I can eat a quarter head of cabbage in one sitting, it turns out, but my wife can't, so.
That give you gas?
I don't know, everything gives me gas. It's hard to determine what does or doesn't these days. There's problems down below, no matter what I'm eating, good or bad. My body is a wonderland. It's it's a mystery. I don't know what's going on down there. Sometimes I eat things that I think are going to just absolutely destroy me and I feel fine. And sometimes I eat things that are going to be good and I feel like I'm going to pop.
Yeah, I've had this problem over the last like decade, or anytime I eat a salad, I immediately have to run to the bathroom.
Any kind of salad?
Any sort of vegetable, really. If I eat a lot of vegetable.
Tuna salad.
Wow.
No, not a tuna or a chicken salad. Like an actual salad.
No, meat salads.
Meat salads,
vegetable salads.
I think that just means you need them more regularly.
Yeah. Ganesha's body is so not used to the vegetables that when he eats them, it's like immediately evacuate. This isn't burger. This isn't hot dog. This is garbage. Get it out of me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I went, ever since I had that gastro, sorry for the long talk about my insides. Ever since I went to that gastroenterologist and they did the endoscopy and put me on this medication, which I've quit, by the way. I stopped finally. To no real negative side effects. I just feel like I don't know. My stomach's fucked up. It's bad. I think it's just how it is for the rest of my life.
Do you think it got that way because of the medication or?
No, I think it's all part of whatever caused my issues in the first place. But the medication didn't totally fix it. I think it's just permanent. I think I'm just going to be farting and farting my whole life.
Yeah.
Get you a fart bag.
Hey, well, sure. If they offer it, I'd take it. All right. You ready to get into this episode?
Yeah. And another episode where we talk about poop.
No, we didn't talk about poop. We talked about farts and burps and indigestion.
I talked about poop.
You did?
I said anytime I eat a salad, I got to poop.
Yeah. He brought up the solids. No solids.
No, it's not solid. It's liquid.
This podcast is like a therapy session for Austin's insides. Or all of your insides, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Let it all out. Let it all out, buddy. Let it all out.
No.
You need to cry?
If I let it all out, it'd be a real nasty scene over here.
You cry a little bit?
Me?
Yeah.
Do I know? Emotionally, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. My brain's ahead of my body here. I'm good. Let's keep on shitting. I don't care. All right. I'm sorry about all, but we got to stop it with the poop talk. We should take one episode where we don't say a bad word. What a challenge that would be. Where we don't cuss and we don't talk about bodily functions. A kid-friendly episode.
What are you going to talk about? Just like taxes?
That's not kid-friendly. And no, I don't think about my taxes till April 15th.
I mean, that's kid-friendly. It's just not kid-like appropriate.
not kid interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You're the father here, Ganesh. You should know what kids like. All right. This is way too much. Let's jump in. Fan fiction. Ganesh, what's first?
Well, you know what kids really like. Columbo, the TV show.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we're going to do a little Columbo fan fiction.
You said this is rated K for kids?
Yeah.
So this is a child-appropriate Columbo story.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Everyone familiar? Columbo?
Yeah, with the weird eye.
Yeah, you could play this at a Briss.
Coming to Briss with your Columbo fan fiction. I would like to do a reading.
They do readings at a Briss?
If you bring the fan fiction, they let you.
If you book a space, you can do whatever you want.
That's true. Yeah. They definitely have mics. They got microphones.
For what?
Readings? Announcements? I don't know. I've never been to a Briss.
All right. Maybe I have a different idea in my head of what a Briss is, but...
Fact check, man.
Are you thinking of a brie?
No, not the... Phil, fact checker, says Briss is a type of fancy cheese you pair with wine.
A soft cheese that goes well with some hazelnuts and apples.
Briss is... I mean, yeah. What's the definition, Phil? What's a Briss?
Oh, wait. Hold on. Just to make sure we're on the same page.
B-R-I-S.
Okay, yes.
It's like, it's a tea company that used claymation in the 90s.
Yeah, this is something I really don't want to even look up on my own computer.
What does it say?
You know what a Briss is.
Say it out loud.
Yeah.
It's the covenant of circumcision.
Yeah, but it's like an event you go to, right?
It is an event.
So it's like a circumcision party.
It's a ritual circumcision of male babies, usually at 8 days old, regarded as the formal entry of the child into the Jewish community.
And then there's like guests there?
If you want.
And a guy reading Columbo fanfiction on a mic?
It's all really user-friendly. You can customize it. You know, if you want people reading, if you want people there, doesn't really matter.
Man.
Get a DJ.
That's right. My wedding DJ. He's up there. He's out there.
You know what a good song would be for a Briss? Heads Will Roll by the Yeah Yeah Yes.
That would be funny. They accidentally cut the whole head off. Whoops! My bad.
Okay, no, that is what I thought it was. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Columbo fan fiction. Here we go. A child sat in a small back alley in the center of LA on a dark, lonely night in June. He leaned against a heavily graffiti-covered wall, bouncing a worn tennis ball against the opposing brick surface. It bounced wearily, sometimes lightly hitting the flickering posters that hung on the wall so that they fluttered in the evening breeze, and other times making an almighty clunking bounce when hitting the brickwork that was so familiar in this part of LA.
Is this one sentence? I feel like there's been one sentence.
Oscar had been sitting there for about an hour. His parents were having an argument about something or other that he had needed to get out. He hated to hear him shout. Two people who were supposed to love each other so much arguing just broke his heart. And so he had ran, picked up the nearest thing to hand and ran here to this little safe space where no one could find him. A safe haven amongst the busy streets and warehouses of Los Angeles. City of Angels. The sirens of police cars racing around the city echoed around this small alleyway. The noise reminded him of anger and frustration, the blaring sounds of a busy town, chaos ensuing. But in the smaller alleyways, the calm hung silently for anyone who needed it. He had heard something unusual.
Columbo!
Footsteps getting closer and closer.
Can we get 6 seconds of Peter Falk?
That's my underwear.
He stopped bouncing his old tennis ball, catching it keenly between his hands. He turned his head. Standing about 8 feet away from him was a small, shabby-looking man in a beige raincoat.
You better believe it's Columbo.
What's his deal? He's got OCD.
No, that's Monk.
That's Monk.
That's Detective Monk. Columbo's got a blazy eye and intuition.
Yeah, and he plays dumb, and people think he's stupid, and then he always solves it, saves the day. Yep.
That's his special power, is he appears stupid.
Well, it's like us.
Yeah, it's the same thing that keeps our podcast popular.
Well, the difference is that we appear stupid and we actually are stupid.
Hey.
So, his face is harsh, but friendly.
Can we get a fact check on that?
Yeah.
Are we stupid?
He's not paying attention.
I'm looking it up. I'm checking if we're stupid. Yes.
Oh.
Well, yes, we're stupid? Okay.
That's fair.
Fact checked.
A lightly burning cigar hangs between the man's fingers, which he puffs at times before noticing the little boy in the alleyway. Hey, are you supposed to be out here at this time of night? Came the stranger's voice.
Pretty good, Columbo.
Little boy nodded, trying to hide his face in the shadows of the alley. He didn't want to show he'd been crying. Jeez, it's mighty late. When I was a kid, my parents didn't let me out past 8 o'clock, let alone
9 o'clock.
He pulled up the cuff of his Mac and suit to look at this slightly battered watch.
It's 8:13.
10 o'clock.
Oh, 10.
Your parents must be mighty swell. You're lucky to have them.
Don't see what it's got to do with you, mister.
The little boy replied.
What is he, like a fucking street urchin? Dickensian?
A cockney boy in the streets of L.A.
Hey, mister. I'm just a regular Los Angeles boy.
Being protective was a specialty after all the fights his parents had been having recently.
From the hills of Beverly.
It was his first and only defense.
I'm from the city of angels, I am.
He leapt from the floor so that he stood facing the stranger. He was roughly the same height, but the boy reckoned the man was much older.
Now there you got me. Nothing to do with me, son. Nothing at all. I'm just part of the LAPD.
He started rifling around the multiple pockets on his raincoat, mumbling to himself, and produced a police badge. The boy stepped forward to share the light with the man and saw that he was telling the truth. In the light, he couldn't quite read the name, but the badge spelled out, fact.
Name's Lieutenant Columbo. Homicide. Homicide? Ain't been no murder around here, has there?
Why, no, sir. I was just taking a stroll down this main street out there.
Who's who? These voices are identical. I don't know. Columbo and the clone of Columbo meeting.
Wanted to take advantage of the wonderful evening beneath the stars. He was gesticulating madly, his arms waving around like he was trying to swat flies. He looked up, squinting slightly. He could see past the rugged buildings that imprisoned the sky and could see the stars twinkling in the distance.
And I heard you bouncing that tennis ball. Thought I'd come and check if you were all right. You mind if I have a shot at that?
He pointed at the tennis ball, which lay silently in Oscar's hands. The little boy threw the tennis ball to Columbo, who fumbled it slightly before being able to catch it safely. He watched as the aging detective started bouncing the ball against the wall, hitting the light posters to release a low crackling sound into their ears and hitting the hard brick.
Hey, you're not bad.
You're right, they do sound the same. I'm sorry.
You're not bad.
There's the kid, all right?
Okay, yeah.
Oscar tried to say without sounding condescending. Columbo kept bouncing the ball, uncertainly as if it were a wild animal, ready to break from its strict routine of bouncing and run off into the night.
Why, thanks, kid. When I was stressed or down in the dumps, I used to bounce tennis balls against the wall of my little house. Well, that was until my wife told me I was making marks on the wall. Ah, my wife, most wonderful woman in the world. But she's a fussy lady when it comes to cleaning. Oh, you wouldn't want to mess with her when she gets the mop and duster out.
Okay, sir. I'll be on my way.
Keep it. Keep the ball.
He handed the ball back to its owner. Thank you. Must invest in some tennis balls from the office. They work wonders. He smiled, and so did Oscar.
So what are you doing out here on a night like tonight? Doubt kids your age come out to enjoy the atmosphere. What with your computers and game station things?
What is this, Columbo and Now? Yeah. I thought this was like the 70s.
What with your Xbox Ones? Could never get the hang of those things. My nephew got one for his last birthday, and I don't know what to do with it. Instructions may well have been written in Japanese.
My nephew's got a Blastoise.
There was a short silence.
He won't shut up about his Blastoise.
Columbo was a strange little man.
You got one of them?
Certainly one who Oscar would not have expected.
Oh, you're a Raichu guy.
My grandson only lets me play with Rattatas and Pidgeys. He says he could be Blastoise. I don't want to be Pidgey.
Certainly one who Oscar would not have expected to be a police officer, but he was honest and kind and a laugh, which is what Oscar needed right now.
My parents were having an argument. Needed to get out of the house. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Parents argue for all kinds of things, you know. I think it's about me. They do it a lot.
Oscar could remember them bickering about his grades or how about they both wanted custody of him if they were to split.
Our boy picked Bulbasaur.
Idiot. There's so many grass Pokemon everywhere.
Parents only argue about you when they have love to share. They're probably arguing for you, not about you. When I meet parents in my job and there's a kid just like yourself in the mix, they always want what's best for them. Columbo smiled. Even without kids of his own, he could understand that if a relationship was going badly, then both sides would want to fight for the best thing to come out of it.
Damn, is Columbo a virgin?
It's just getting the timings right to go back in. Never go with timings,
replied Oscar quietly, toying with the tennis ball in his hand.
Only you can make that decision. Just remember what I said, because it's because they love you, not because you're just there to be argued for. Thank you, Columbo, sir.
Oscar stepped forward and took one of the lieutenant's hands and shook it firmly.
My pleasure, kid. Any way I can help.
With one last smile, he said, see you around, and then began to jog out of the alleyway, his raincoat flapping in the night breeze.
Oh, and just one more thing.
The boy nodded.
Have a good evening, and I hope everything's sorted out with your folks. Good night, kid. the end. And this is dedicated to Peter Falk, who passed away 24th June 2011. The world... 2011.
Yeah, they renamed the whole year after him.
A world without Columbo is a dark place, but memories live on. The end.
You weren't kidding when you said we were going to be easing into it. That was barely a story.
That was just a meeting in an alleyway.
It also did not need to be Columbo at all. Nothing about that was Columbo-esque.
What are you talking about? He said just one more thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Honestly, I thought it was a pretty good reading of Columbo. I mean, sorry, writing, not reading. Oh, writing. Good writing.
Oh, well, the reading was great.
The reading was mid, but the writing was...
I thought it was pretty good writing of Columbo. I mean, he didn't solve any crimes.
He solved the crime of self-doubt.
He approached a kid who was having no problems and didn't help him at all and left. All right. Good job, Columbo. R.I.P. Mr. Falk.
That was pretty well written. That was a fun time.
Yeah, it was good. I had it. It was a good time. But I know that I always say I don't want it. But when I hear stories like that, it makes me want to get into the hard stuff.
He wants the in and out.
I want the in and outs. I ain't talking burgers, baby. And I ain't talking doors. Or the other one. Reading stories quickly. I want sex in the next story. You got anything good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Wait, I've got one piece of Columbo information.
Okay. Fact checker Phil. Can we get like a little news bulletin? Fact checker Phil.
If you've listened to the last episode, you know that he has music.
I have not finished the last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. What is it?
So, Columbo, the episodes of this show or whatever, the audience sees the crime unfold at the beginning. They know what's going on. They know who did it. Then Columbo comes in. He tries to deduce what's going on. This is called a How Ketchum. Did you know that? It's a...
I did know that.
Contrast to a whodunit.
How Ketchum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They call it an Ash Ketchum.
Yeah. In which the perp is shown at the beginning and you work backwards to see how the protagonist solves the case. And that's all I got.
I only knew about Ash Ketchum.
That's his uncle.
Howie. Howie Ketchum. He only has Rattatas and Pidgeys.
Howie Ketchum says shorts are comfy and easy to wear.
All right. We'll be back with another fan fiction right after this. All right, we're back. We got more fan fiction locked and loaded. Ganesh, what is next?
This one is called Defrosting. This was recommended by Austin.
Oh, yeah. I know what's coming.
And potentially even written by Austin. I don't know.
Hey, what's the name of the author?
Purple Ushi.
Well, he does go by Purple Ushi.
Yes, you know, I've got a couple handles out there.
He's got Red Ushi. Blue Ushi.
Yeah, I've got all the Ushis. Don't you worry about it.
This is a Suits fan fiction.
Yeah! Suits. Can we get 6 seconds of the Suits theme song? Boom, baby. I'm feeling like Lewis Litt.
You just got lit up. All right, here we go. This is a Suits fan fiction.
Oh, from that top? We're going to talk about this.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a Suits fan fiction. Here we go. It was 11:48 when Mike finally left Pearson Hardman to go home and get some much-needed rest. Sure, he had to be up by 5 the next day, but he'd take sleep wherever he got it. He stepped out into the bitter cold late January night, wondered why he hadn't worn a jacket to work.
Yeah, pretty stupid.
Oh, that's right, because Harvey had picked him up at his place at 7 sharp and whisked him off to go meet with a client. That's also why he didn't have his bike. Oh, this is early Suits. Okay.
Yeah, they know their stuff.
Mike groaned. Harvey had left hours ago, and the only people left in the office were Gregory and that obnoxious Devin guy. There was no way he was bumming a ride off either of them.
It's New York. Call it Uber. Taxi cab.
He reluctantly pulled out his cell to call for a cab. It was so late that there were none lined up outside the building, and it could be 15 minutes before 1:05. No, it couldn't.
Yeah, this isn't right. Also, this is Midtown Manhattan. Just get on the train. What are we doing here?
He stood in the vestibule of the office building and waited for a cab, cursing the fact that he'd have to drop nearly $30 on the ride back to his apartment.
He'd ask Carvey to reimburse him. That would just earn him a look and questions about where all the money was going. Then he'd have to explain about his grandmother and his raised rent and about the $5,000 he'd given Trevor after he came back from Montana and, well, he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, that's all valid.
By the time the taxi arrived, it had started to snow. He pulled his jacket tighter around his chest and ducked his head into the wind. I thought he didn't have a jacket.
Yeah, he didn't have a jacket, now he does. Also, this is coat weather. I just don't really understand. Something's awry.
After giving the cabbie directions, he leaned against the window and started to doze off. He was fast asleep when they pulled up in front of his apartment building. The cabbie cleared his throat, and Mike jerked awake. Sorry, how much is it? Mike frantically dove for his wallet. 26! Mike handed him the bills and then hopped out of the cab, who drove away the second the door was closed. Mike reached into his pants pocket for his key. It wasn't there.
This man's a mess.
Try to remember where he'd left it.
This isn't the Mike I know. He's put together.
Which one's Mike?
The young one.
Oh, okay.
Famously has a photographic memory.
He has a photographic memory. He's very smart. Would not forget a coat or keys. Tell you that much.
He knew he hadn't taken it out of his pocket at work. Had he left it inside the apartment in his rush to meet Harvey? He pressed the buzzers of the other tenants, hoping that one of them would let him into the building so he could at least get out of the cold.
Oh, he's that guy. You ever, I guess you guys haven't really lived in big buildings. You ever get people just spamming the buzzers? That's the worst.
No.
Nah.
Happened to me. Happened to me in a big building.
Did you go down?
No, I don't buzz them in. I don't know who they are. I don't go down either. I have a buzzer.
That's how you get in, dude. I've had to do that.
I mean,
leave your keys inside. You got to ring up everybody.
I understand where I would do it too. In fact, maybe I have before, but I'm not going to buzz them in. And I don't blame it if nobody buzzes me in.
Oh, so what do you complain about?
You don't know who I am. I could be anybody out there hitting the buzzer.
Oh, for sure. It's a numbers game, though.
Yeah, if you just hit all the buzzers, somebody's going to let you in, probably. Somebody's probably expecting Chinese food.
He pulled out his phone, and of course, the battery had died sometime during the cab ride. He didn't know what else could possibly go wrong right now. He tried one more time to get an answer from anyone in the building, then sank back against the door in despair. The snow was picking up, and so was the wind. He knew he couldn't stay outside all night. But his phone was dead. There are no cabs in sight. He sighed, started walking down the street, hoping to find a 7-Eleven or something still open, but all the stores were dark. Vaguely remembered Lewis mentioning something about a severe weather advisory and that they were expecting, what, 8 inches of snow?
This seems like a recipe for death. This is bad news. Locked out, no jacket, no coat, no keys, no phone, 8 inches of snow.
It also doesn't sound like New York. No cabs, no stores open.
Yeah.
Also, he's looking for 7-Elevens. What part of town are you in, bud?
Come on. What is this?
Yeah. Also, just go to a bar.
Yeah.
Go to a bar.
Go to a 24-hour CVS or something.
Bars always have like a phone charger, for sure.
Or go fuck your boss, Harvey.
He was about 4 blocks from Harvey's condo.
Oh, good. All right. Last option.
So they do it?
Not usually.
They have a romance?
This is where the fan fiction comes from. Mm. No, they're all business on the show.
His clothes were soaked through and all the skin that was exposed was raw and frozen stiff. He probably had frostbite by now. Oh, God, Harvey would kill him for ruining this suit.
It is the name of the show.
He trusts the snow, yada, yada, yada. Almost there, yada, yada, yada.
Wait, so he borrows all of his suits from the big guy?
No, but Harvey does help him buy suits. It's a whole thing. The suits are very important to the show. It's why it's called Suits. Can't be walking in a cheap-ass suit.
Are you here to see someone? The guard asked. Harvey Specter, please. Mike tried to enunciate before, but it came out slurred and stuttering, and then right there in the middle of the lobby, he collapsed.
Damn, Mike is literally dying.
When Mike woke up, he was wrapped in a blanket and arms, and he was naked.
Well, that's inappropriate.
Harvey? The arm squeezed tighter. Mike, you're awake. Harvey's voice sounded loud and close. Hi.
Mike!
He's like,
you're awake!
His head's like right next to his.
Mike blinked again, slowly realizing that he was sitting on Harvey's lap. Harvey ran his hand through Mike's now dry hair. What were you thinking? Harvey asked quietly. Huh?
My sweet boy, my sweet boy.
Oh, sorry. I ruined my shoes. Oh, God, Mike, I don't care about that.
I care about the suit.
You could have died. Don't ever do that again. When I saw you in the lobby, God, my heart stopped beating for a second. Jesus, Mike, I love you.
Oh, whoa. Hey, what about Rachel?
Mike stared. There was a heavy silence. You do? He stammered. You have no idea. I had no idea. Oh, Mike, when I thought I could lose you, everything just made sense. I'm in love with you, and I don't give a crap if that makes me weak. You know, his famous catchphrase, I don't give a crap.
That sounds like Harvey. I don't give a crap about it. Mike.
That's what he says?
He says that all the time. They sell shirts. I don't give a crap, it says.
If it ruins my reputation because all of that is inconsequential compared to the thought of losing you. Mike was still too out of it to fully understand what was going on, but that didn't matter. He got the gist.
What'd you say?
You love me, he interrupted, with a grin the size of Texas. Mike managed to get his arms free of the blanket, which was possibly the softest, fuzziest thing he had touched, and wind them around Harvey's neck. Kiss me. And Harvey did.
Mwah. Wow. Mwah.
It was soft and gentle, unlike the Harvey he knew, but he wasn't complaining. Although his lips were bruised and chapped from the cold, it didn't hurt. It was just a kiss, but it was the most heavenly thing Mike had ever experienced. And that wasn't just the hypothermia talking. Harvey's legs were falling asleep from Mike's weight on his lap, so he gently lifted the sleep.
How long has Harvey been sitting there with a frozen Mike on his lap?
So he gently lifted the sleeping man off of him and stood up. Mike curled into a ball in his sleep, and it was all Harvey could do to keep from waking him up so he could ravish him. Mike, wake up. It was 6 a.m. and Harvey hadn't slept since being woken up by the doorman around 1. Now was about the time he would normally wake up anyway, so he decided to make coffee. He had poured himself a cup and returned to the couch when Mike started to wake up. Morning, sleepyhead, he greeted Mike as he blinked his eyes dazedly. How are you feeling? Yada, yada, yada.
What are we yadding in a short story?
Yeah, well, he drank his coffee. He's probably going to have to go to the potty.
He's yadding through the extensive bathroom bit.
How are you feeling? Oh, stiff, Mike groaned. I would have let you sleep in the bed, but you're kind of heavy and I couldn't make it there. You carried me? Mike blushed. Harvey nodded. You basically...
he blushed.
Imagine being carried.
By a man?
And being put to bed. Just imagine.
By a man?
Just by anybody. Jeez.
Yeah, really.
If someone can pick me up, I mean... More power to him.
Harvey Specter could carry you.
No way.
Cradle you.
I bet Dwayne The Rock Johnson could pick you up.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson.
You think so?
Pick you up and toss you around, spin you around like pizza dough.
Yeah, he'd work you, dude.
He'd work you like dough, baby. That's a thought. Just something I've thought about a couple times.
Yeah, I'm always like, wow, Dwayne The Rock Johnson could just work Ganesh like dough.
Like dough, like a big pizza dough.
You basically passed out in the lobby. I brought you up here and you woke up a little. Enough for me to know you weren't going to die on me. Then I did everything Wikipedia recommended for hypothermia. Mike frowned.
I kissed you. I put you on my lap. I wrapped you in a big blanket. All the things Wikipedia said to do.
It's like the WikiHow illustrations.
Yeah, it's like a clip art of a man brushing a sleeping man's hair on his lap. Do this if your friend is hypothermic.
Mike frowned. You trusted Wikipedia with my life? Then he laughed, sitting up on the couch. The blanket slipped off his shoulder, revealing his pale, bare chest.
Ooh, daddy-like, said Harvey.
You sure you didn't write this?
I'm making a couple edits as we read right now.
Purple Ushi showing.
I'm writing some notes down for the next pass at it.
He reached for the coffee and the blanket slipped down to his waist. Then he noticed for the first time that Harvey was only wearing boxers.
Oh.
Harvey was, simply put, gorgeous. Mike suddenly felt a little embarrassed at his inferior body. He pulled the blanket around his shoulders again. Are you cold? I can get you another. Mike shook his head. No, I'm fine. Thank you. He tentatively inched closer to Harvey, resting his head on Harvey's shoulder. Harvey slid his arm around Mike and gently squeezed him. He kissed the top of Mike's head. Hey, I need to take a shower.
I need to take a shit.
I need to take a shit.
Sorry. I thought that's where you were going. Sorry.
Join me. Mike nodded, and Harvey helped him stand up, his legs still weak from the cold. Led him to the bathroom, perched him on the counter while Harvey turned on the water.
Wow.
Mike being moved around like a little bird.
It's fucking elf on a shelf over here. Harvey stepped out of his boxers and guided Mike into the shower. The water was warm, the spray soft. Mike's eyes fluttered closed. Harvey gently pushed him under the water, hands resting on his hips. Harvey ran his fingers through Mike's hair, down his back. He reached for the shampoo bottle and squeezed a generous amount into his hand, rubbed it through his own hair, then through Mike's.
It's Selsun Blue.
This isn't dirty at all.
No?
They're just, no.
Is it end right there?
No, they just...
Oh, well...
They just... bathe each other. They literally just clean each other.
Hey, I didn't say I needed smut. It doesn't need to be nasty. It can be tender and loving.
This is worse.
Oh.
Not for me.
This is so much worse.
Why is it worse?
I don't know.
You just don't like the idea of people bathing together.
Kenesha's on record as wanting to stay in one single room with no bathtub or shower in it for the rest of his life. So yeah. I get it.
I'm here for the... Listen, I'm saying if you're gonna advertise fucking, there better be fucking. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
you should write that as a... Can you leave comments on these things? Where the fucking?
They're just cleaning off. They got to Pantene their heads.
Are you telling me there's no sex coming
up? Oh, there is. Oh, there's like two sentences. All right.
Two sentences. I got a big boner and I busted a nut. The end.
Mike sucked Harvey dick.
Mike arched his back into Harvey's caresses, then leaned his head back against the wall. Harvey's other hand slid down his back and rested on his ass, giving a light squeeze.
Boink. Boink.
Mike bucked forward, almost coming into Harvey's hand.
Wow, that's all it took, a little butt squeeze?
He felt Harvey smile against his chest, and that sent him over the edge. He gasped Harvey's name as he came, spilling white, warm liquid into Harvey's hand.
That's all they had to do? A little butt squeeze and a tender hug? A
butt squeeze and a smile into the chest.
See, I'm with my special move.
He hit his auga button.
All right, and that's it. They love each other. Bing, bang, bong, the end.
Okay. You know what? That was perfectly good because it wasn't too dirty. It was loving. I feel like now we can really get into the nitty gritty.
I think it's inappropriate to commend your own writing.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the reviews that others have left.
Mr. Uchi, or do you go by purple?
Hey, I am wearing a purple shirt right now. Yeah, it was good. That was good. If I do say so myself, it was pretty good. I think I'd read another one by Mr. Purple Uchi. See what else he's got in the backlog. Backlog. That's what Harvey just did to Mike.
There appears to be another story written by Purple Uchi called My Fellow Podcast Hosts.
I've removed all the doors from my podcaster friend's home.
And he's just a sex thing.
Oh my God. All right, we get out of here. I can't. That makes me ill. Let's move on. Let's do the next one.
Let's take a break and come back.
All right. We'll be right back with more fan fiction for the boys. Okay, we're back. And we got more fan fiction for you. Ganesh just scoured the internet for something good for us to hear. So I'm excited. What is it?
I'm not really sure. This one is called Best Friend Gerard Way. And it's under the fanfiction.net category called Marching Band.
Gerard Way is a singer of My Chemical Romance, right?
Yeah. He started that band because of 9/11.
Wow.
Can we get a fact check on that, please?
I believe that that's true, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, look it up. He was working down there, and he saw it happen, and he quit being...
He was working as an intern for Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
On 9/11.
And he saw that and he said, this is My Chemical Romance.
He said, fuck art. I've got to get out of the basement. I've got to see the world. I've got to make a difference. That's a direct quote.
That's a direct quote. Wow. Gerard Way. All right. Great. That's the setup. What's the fan fiction?
The day is Thursday, October 20, 1994, 3:50 p.m.
The day is September 11th, 2001. 1994? Okay. So we're dealing with a young Gerard Way. Pre-9/11, pre-My Chemical Romance.
Ring, 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 ring. Remember to read chapter 4. Have a good day, everyone. Everyone got up, ignoring the teacher's words, to try to be the first one out the room.
Wait, that was your school bell ring and not a phone
a
ring?
A ring, ring, a ring, ring,
a ring. A ring, ding, ring, ring.
A ring, ding, ding, school's over. A ring, dong.
Isn't that what it sounded like at your school?
No, it sounded like...
Yeah, it sounded like a torture chamber.
I frantically shoved all my books into my bag and hurried to the growing crowd of people blocking the door to get into the hallway. I somehow managed to squeeze to the front and sprinted toward my locker. When I arrived, I sighed in relief, opened it, grabbed my gym bag, slammed the door shut. Hey, Becca, are we still on for tonight? Are you tutoring someone else for history? I jumped at the voice and lightly punched the guy the voice belonged to. Gerard, don't scare me like that. Gerard laughed at my reaction, which made me laugh as well. No history tutoring until next week, so we're on, but I'm maybe a little late. Tennis practice has been going on longer than expected this whole week. Oh, can't you skip it just this once, please, for me?
Famously deep-voiced Gerard.
Hey, babe, it's me, the local jock, Gerard Way.
Gerard gave me a look a child would give their parents asking for candy. As much as I'd love to skip practice, I can't. I have that big tournament Saturday.
Can't you at least stay the night? We can skip school tomorrow and you can practice at the court across from my house.
Damn, they got Gerard's a little bit of a bad boy.
I thought about it. Gerard and I never missed school, and vacation wasn't for another month. We also didn't have tests tomorrow. I nodded my head at him. Sure thing, but I might need to grab an extra pair of clothes and PJs from my house.
I can go pick them up for you to save you the drive. Your mom shouldn't mind.
Hey, your daughter's spending the night at my house tonight. Give me the PJs.
Mind? She'll talk you into staying and make me go get your clothes. We both laughed.
Gerard's mom and my mom became best friends when my family moved into his neighborhood 15 years ago. As a result of that, Gerard and I were taken everywhere with them from the ages of 2 onward. We grew closer from those outings, becoming best friends.
This is a bizarre thing to write about a real person.
Yeah.
Unless it's true.
I feel uncomfortable.
What do you guys think of their music?
I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because I was starting to feel like I was better than that.
Yeah.
Even though, was I really better than it?
I always thought their music sounded like Disney villain music.
But in retrospect, if somebody throws it on a karaoke, yeah, I'm going to sing it.
You know, I saw them at Warped Tour.
How were they?
They put on a good show. They were pretty good.
I was never a big fan of bands that were like makeup, like a heavily made up.
Yeah. I think that's why I associate them with Disney villain music.
They were trying a little hard. But yeah, Black Parade comes on. I'm having a good time. What am I saying? I'm not going to deny it.
I will say that Umbrella Academy show is pretty cool.
Yeah, he wrote the comic, right?
Mm-hmm. Graphic novel.
Wow. Yeah. Multi-talented Gerard Way. Talking about him way more than I ever thought we would on the show. All right.
Well, hey, guess what? Here's a little fact about him.
Oh, fact checker Phil reporting for duty.
He is first cousins once removed with Joe Rogan.
Wow. Oof. I actually weirdly knew that. Bad. Okay. Well, hey, all right. Does he think Cousin Joe shows up in this fan fiction? All right, keep going. What's happening here?
That sounds like Linda for you, but with your tournament coming up, I doubt she'll do it, Gerard said, shaking his head.
I bet you drive in the golf cart to get your clothes if she makes you stay. Gerard looked horrified. The golf cart was my dad's most prized possession. He wouldn't let anyone drive it beside himself. Fine, but if I win, then you have to clean Mikey's fish tank. I nearly gagged at that thought. I love fish and aquatic life, but Mikey and fish don't mix. His tank smelled terrible, and no one knew why the fish were still alive.
Mikey with the stinky tank.
Everybody knows one of those guys.
Deal then. I ran ahead of him, waiting for him to catch up. Oh my gosh, was Becca talking to that nerd? Why is that douchebag around Becca? Doesn't he know his place?
Hey nerd, the dumpsters are that way.
I looked toward Gerard and saw his head was down with a look of defeat. I gave death glares toward the people calling him names and mouthed fuck you to them.
That's the best thing you could do is just mouth, fuck you.
Fuck you, fuck you. Ever since I joined the tennis team, people have been treating me as popular girl. It also didn't help that my history teacher appointed me to become the tutor for history due to my stellar grades. Guys would purposely flunk to come see me, which annoyed me.
Damn. I'm trying to go get tutored by that hot tennis gal.
Let's go listen to her talk about Martin Luther.
I would reject their flirting and plead to go out with me, resulting in them bullying Gerard because he was the only guy I would hang out with. I'm so sorry, Gerard. I'm not a douchebag. Of course you aren't. You're my best friend.
Interesting from the author to position themselves as like somebody who's hotter and cooler than Gerard Way in the story. I'm curious about the pathology that goes into writing something like this.
This is ringing to me like it's a potentially a true story.
So this is not fan fiction. This is friend reality. That's for another website.
They are the douchebag, or should I say dick-a-bag. Gerard smiled lightly at me and mouthed thank you. A lot of mouthing.
Thank you and fuck you look kind of similar when there's no sound.
It's really what you do with your eyes.
He had kind eyes in that moment, mouthing fuck you at me.
We made it to the tennis court, sat next to the student parking lot and parted ways. I watched him get into his car and waved by. I'll see you in a couple hours, I yelled and waved like a maniac. He displayed his signature lopsided smile, waved at me, pulling his car out the parking lot and drove in the direction of our neighborhood.
What's he driving? Tacoma?
A jalopy.
Oldsmobile, like me.
And me.
You drove an Oldsmobile?
I drove an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. 1991.
Damn, I drove a 98 Oldsmobile Intrigue.
Oh, I had a 94 Chevy Corsica.
Wow. Damn, we were really rolling with some classics.
Not Phil. Phil had a newer Nissan, if I recall.
It was a 1998.
Whoa, 98?
Yeah.
That's what mine was.
Wow. All right. Good stuff. I crashed a 1986 Chevrolet Caprice.
I was going to say, I had that Altima for 2 months.
You crashed after 2 months?
No, after 2 months, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, after the 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. After the 2 months were up. All right.
It's time to crash.
And I crashed my 91 Oldsmobile.
I was actually in that car with Ganesh when he ran into a deer.
You hit a deer?
I told him several times. I yelled, deer, deer. Dear.
And he was like, yes, that's me.
Oh, you're being sweet, friend.
Then he ran into it.
Yeah. Wow, he's like, that's dinner.
It was dark and I didn't see it.
Did it make a mess? Was it bloody?
It left like a white trail of
fur
residue.
What'd you do? Did you stop and pull over?
It ran away.
It flew off into the side of the road and we kept going, I guess.
It ran away. It jumped up and ran off into the night.
Your Oldsmobile was not enough to do in that deer. It took a glancing blow and ran off.
To do a deer? A female deer?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Come on.
Gerard Way?
I've had a crush on Gerard Way since the sixth grades. As much as our mothers would be thrilled to know this, I couldn't tell them or him. I couldn't risk losing our friendship over some silly feelings. Who's to say he's got the same feelings for me? I walked out of the locker room in my white tenny uniform and sat on the bench. I still have this year with Gerard, and then we'll be going to college together in Boston. Everyone, we're doing singles today, so I need Masterson and Prescott up here. I smiled at my coach's words.
How many words is this one? This is
like, yeah, yada, yada, yada,
yada. Like, can we get yada? Can you get some yadas in here until something interesting happens?
Unless she can serve the ball like Venus or Serena.
Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick, that was the first tennis player that came to your mind?
He has a super fast serve. Look at
him. He's fine.
He's fine.
I think some of the other guys have topped him.
Fact checker, find us who the five fastest serves in tennis. Men's tennis.
Men's tennis.
Well, it's going to be men. Sorry. You don't even have to put men's.
You don't need to.
Wow, dude. Wow.
I'm just telling you what's what about the record books in tennis.
Wow.
I make the rules.
I thought we were a progressive podcast here. Let's stop there. You just set us back 40 years.
That's what I said off air. Yeah. I was like, Billie Jean King ruined it for the rest of us men.
All right.
I'm still staunchly anti-Billie Jean King. I'm one of the last holdouts.
Number one, or no, what are we doing? Five?
Top five fastest serves men in tennis. Not men's. Across everybody. Everybody's serves. Who's the top five?
Well, this one goes from six to four.
Well, how about we start one?
Well, if I do one, then does two, three, four, five even matter?
All right, yeah, go five. Okay, go down the list till we get to one.
All right. Sure. Oh, I see why there's no five. It's because number four is tied. So tied for number four, we have Jerzy Janowicz. Lots of Z's there. 251 kilometers, which is 156 miles an hour.
Damn, that's fast.
Tied with Ivo Karlovic with the same.
Next,
an American John Isner with 157.2 miles per hour. That was back in 2016.
Next.
Okay, what?
Next.
Jesus fuck.
Next. Welcome to the show, Fact.
Do you even care? Like, should next. I just do the first? Like, all right, fine. Number one, Sam Groth from.
Who? Where's Andy Roddick?
Andy Roddick's not on here.
He didn't crack the top 10.
I told you, dude.
He didn't crack the top 10. He's not even on here. He didn't crack
where's
the
Billy
top 50.
King? Doesn't even
Andy
exist.
Roddick's pulling like 50 mile an hour serves. He's not on here.
50? I can throw faster than that, Andy.
What does Sam Groth hit? 170?
Sam Groth is 163.4 mile an hour. That'll hurt.
Damn. He put a little mustard on that one.
And that was back in 2012 in Busan.
Do you think that's what the Mayans were predicting about 2012?
Yeah, maybe that serve like sparked the singularity or something. I don't know.
It's the fastest serve ever. All right, just thinking out loud. Okay, what's going on in this book?
Let's stop there.
We're done?
We're done.
It's not a book. It doesn't get interesting.
Well, how's it end anyway? What's the last? Read the last couple sentences.
Hey, Becca, I love you. I love you too, Gerard. Good night. Night.
Perfect. The end.
They did.
Nailed it.
These
home
crazy
run.
Kids. Wow.
Gerard Way, we love you, buddy. Sorry you were there on 9/11. Okay. We got any more? Is that the last one? Is there another one coming up? We can't end on that.
Yeah, we'll do one more and then that's it.
We got to end. It's got to be a barn burn. It's got to be like a fireworks show.
Let's take a break and come back so I can find one.
You got to have like Captain Crunch sodomizing something.
Yeah. Can you type in Captain Crunch sodomy and see what comes up? All right. We'll be right back with Captain Crunch. You heard the rest.
It turns out Andy Roddick was on the list.
Fuck. All right, we're back. The big man's got one. He's got a grand finale to end this episode on. Ganesh, what is this fan fiction you have picked for us?
It's called Furry Lemon Shorts.
Oh, fucking hell, dude. Why'd we go through this whole exercise of sending you fan fictions and you don't pick any of them? You just pick your own.
Pick better ones.
I'm not sure you did based off that last one.
Hey, I picked that one.
Well, Phil, you're fired. Fact checker, new fact checker.
This is just some short stories put together leading up to lemons. I believe.
You say that as if that makes perfect sense.
I believe it's about skunks. So here we go. Furry Lemon Shorts, page one, chapter one.
I just want to point out, I found a Super Smash Brothers fan fiction called PK Fuckstorm. You need more reading.
It was too long, dude.
And I also think Ness is like a child, so that's not...
No, he's been around for years. He's old. He's got that Andy Milonakis disease.
Isn't he a robot?
Yeah, he's a robot Andy Milonakis, and he wants to fuck in a storm. Oh, PK okay. Fuck storm.
I didn't feel comfortable doing the Ness voice when reading the fan fiction. That was really my big hang up there.
You could just do Columbo again. All right, whatever. We're past it.
What about my Clay Aiken poem?
Yeah, there's a Clay Aiken poem.
You want me to sing a poem?
Just read it. You don't have to sing it.
I mean, you don't have to, you recite a poem, you read it. It's not a song or a limerick, it's a poem. But it's fine. Ganesh found something about skunks and lemons.
A bushy tail with slick wet fur slithers around a soaking nude feminine body. Her arms are pointed straight out as if she were balancing herself on a tightrope. The tail swishes around her waist that sways gently as waves of water in a calm motion she walks.
This is like furry stuff, huh?
Yep.
A breeze wraps itself around the girl's breasts, hardening her nipples as the wind brushes against the tips.
The tips?
A thin, see-through substance seeps out of the walls of flesh. Then the girl's let out a sound as her folds start to warm up and turn Auga. Hotter than a grill. Ah! She cries. The black and white pelted mammal trembles and drops to her knees, feeling in heat for the first time. A twig cracks. The girl turns around sharply, her D-cup breasts bouncing.
Yowzers.
There stands a soldier wearing a helmet with a protective round sheet of metal covering his eyes.
I have a theory that only men reference cup size in erotica.
Yeah,
like writing. A woman would never be like, her D cups flopped out. No sir,
probably not.
What would they say?
I don't know, something more tasteful.
C cups.
Yeah, C cups. That's something a little more.
Okay. A light bulletproof vest, light armored pants, all are matching gray. He attaches a collar onto the girl and puts her in handcuffs. The soldier puts her in the back of a van and drives away.
How did D cups become the standard of big boobs anyway? It goes past D. There's like G cups.
Yeah.
Why is nobody ever talking about G cups?
But I think the D, that letter, a capital D, looks like a boob. You ever think about that?
Not as much as a B looks like boobs.
A B looks like a butt.
Well, why don't they measure butts in cups?
I'm a quadruple G cup butt.
Because you can't sit on a cup, so it has to be a bowl.
I'm a D bowl. Men need to get in on the fun and start measuring their butt cheeks in cups.
You're thinking you're a D?
That for my butt? No, probably not. I'm probably like a C.
You're probably B.
I
think I'm a C.
I do think I'm like probably like a G.
Shane's thinking he's got a bigger butt than... he says he's a
I G. am. I got a big old butt.
I'm just larger than you, so yeah.
That's true. You're tall ass. You got a long butt.
Yeah, but my legs are longer, so where they meet, my body's bigger.
Right, but what about the definition?
Who, me?
Well, now Ganesh wants details. He's not satisfied to know the size. He wants to know how defined it is. Is it muscular?
I think it's doing pretty well.
Shane seems like he's pretty happy with what he's working with.
You doing squats?
I mean, I do squat. But I don't do squats.
I do squat.
All right.
I've been known to squat from time to time.
I can still get down there.
The skunk is suffering from being in season, rolling around uncomfortably in the back of a blanketed floor, unable to touch her leaking vagina.
Ooh. Jesus fucking Christ. Things went wild.
There. Leaking?
Leaking. Actively leaking. Man, we weren't cool with PK Fuckstorm. We're going to watch this lady fuck a skunk.
The lady is the skunk. Keep up.
Is a man a skunk too?
The man's a man.
No, the man's a soldier.
He's a soldier.
What's even more? So now a man's fucking a skunk?
No one's fucking. She's in the back of the van.
She's leaking.
He's driving the van.
This is going to fucking. Somebody going to be fucking. All right, go on.
The van drives a long way across many bumps. The vehicle slowly comes to a stop.
Writer's too horny to get a sentence.
Van drive long way. I'm just cranking out these words so we can get to the end and jack off.
The female skunk tries to look outside while standing up. The tint of the windows are too dark to see through. The two rear doors open to blinding sunlight as she moves against the front wall of the van, covering her eyes. A soldier stands there, grimacing in sight. He pulls his zipper down up your right to reveal his erect penis underneath his underwear. He pulls down his boxers and pulls back the folds of the unzipped triangles. What?
Wow, I missed that anatomy lesson.
Age.
Everybody's wearing full boxers in these stories. Nobody's got
He's
briefs.
He's wearing boxers Box and briefs. Underwear, if I recall.
Just so he doesn't stain his boxers.
Yeah. Double up.
He jerks off, staring at the skunk.
Oh. Wow.
Fwap, fwap, fwap. Hey. Her juices leak out of her vagina.
Jesus, stop with the leaking vagina. This is worse. I mean, there's something clinical about this that's upsetting.
His dick throbs and he sprays onto the ceiling of the van. Oh, what a beauty you are, he says.
Oh, no.
Columbo?
Columbo again?
And one more thing.
Oh, who's the Blastoise now?
Jesus. Please take me home. This is your home now, he says and enters the van. The female skunk looks down. She stands up and walks to the soldier. He pulls up his underwear and zips up his pants.
No, no, no.
What's happening? This is like a dream.
The soldier masturbated and then went to the back of the van where she is and is now zipping his pants up.
That's the end of the chapter. Next chapter. Many big cages of nude woman fill barren dirt floor. Soldier and skunk walk around until they come to a roomy cage.
Were you looking for the most problematic story we could read to cap this thing off or what?
Yeah, it seems like this is going to be cool.
PK Fuckstorm is right there. Good old-fashioned fun.
Yada, yada, yada. All right. Oh, boy.
No. How did you come to this, Mr. I? Oh, my fan fictions were better than yours.
Did I say that?
Coming in hot with
I don't know if I said that.
The Gerard Way fan fiction followed by Skunk BDSM.
As we have already established, I didn't pick the Gerard Way one. And the skunk, there was something interesting about the skunk BDSM. Okay. All right.
What?
What do you mean, why? I've never seen this before. What?
I've never seen this.
It feels pretty self-explanatory, no?
Can we get to a part of the story that doesn't sound fucked up or weird?
She stands up, smiles. She's smiling, at least, in this scene. She's smiling. She's pointing. She's pulling her index finger back. And repeats it three more times as if to say, come here. He pulls his pants down and reveals his unsheathed pink dick.
Oh,
then God. She notices his tail. Whoa, a skunk tail. She blushes and walks over and removes his helmet. A young skunk head appears with a dark grimace. Oh, a brave, strong man. Got a name? Malt, he says. Ooh, Chai. She says. Chai rubs his dick and says, you came inside for more than sex, didn't you? Maybe. Well, I'm all yours until trouble comes along. Let's make love.
What would Gerard Way think about this?
He probably wouldn't like it.
Nah, I think he'd turn this off.
Malt grits his teeth as he feels her tight pussy folds tightening around his dick. Damn! He exclaims and thrusts inside her.
Too cute!
The two lovers continue fucking. Lift my legs, Malt. He holds up one leg at a time. Chai moans.
Chad pushes her breast against Malt's chest and kisses his lips.
Malt, like the milk balls.
Malt kisses back and thrusts into her. His tongue enters Chai's mouth. Blah. They mix saliva.
They're skunks, but they're not spraying their nasty spray.
No, they like each other.
Yada, yada, yada. They keep going for a couple chapters.
Wow, a couple of chapters of skunk fucking.
Let's get to the end here.
This is what Ganesh saw and he said, yep, this is what I like.
Oh, Malt, I thought you were dead.
What? What happened?
Malt says, I did what was necessary to keep us alive.
What the fuck did we miss? We missed some good stuff.
Chai notices the slutty nurse outfits on all four of the female bunnies. Extra pay? What? They nod yes. Overnight treatments? They smile and nod. Sounds tempting to join the crew. She turns toward Malt, who smiles unknowingly. But I already have dibs on one tonight. The girls giggle, knowing that she was gonna fuck him tonight, and he obviously didn't have a clue. Chai smiles and looks at him. An agent? Show me your secret weapon. She rubs between his legs on his covered dick. In just a minute, we're almost home.
This guy's got such a sexy voice.
All business.
They quickly arrive at the house. Chai walks inside, following Malt, who's fast walking. He swiftly unlocks the door, goes inside, then he holds the door for Chai. Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Let's get naughty. The end.
Wow. I've never seen this before.
I don't know what the fuck you just read us. That was... that was like an extra wide shotgun blast of words.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm seeing why I've never seen that before. It's not very good.
Nope.
Not good is what you would say.
Not good. Not good. Well, that's one way to wrap up the episode. Hey, they can't all be winners. Well, good job, everybody.
An honest day's work.
Medium job on the picking of the stories. But, yeah, good honest day's work. That's right. We put in hard work tonight. I think we've earned...
A nap.
A round of applause. Can we get Phil's first round of applause?
It's not my first round of applause.
It's the first one I can remember.
You don't listen to these episodes.
I try. I get to them. What, you got any more facts for us? Any last minute corrections?
No.
Okay.
Got anything about skunks?
Yeah.
What do you want to know about skunks?
Never mind. I don't want to know anything.
No, I don't want to put you down this path. That's the end of the episode. All right.
Are skunks marsupials?
Can you have a skunk as a pet? Can you get their glands removed, their smelly things?
Can you get them removed and implanted in my own behind?
Do all skunks have double D's?
Yeah, double D's. Any of them have H's, F's, G's, J's, K's, L's?
You got to go to Jersey for that. You can have a skunk in Alabama, Florida, Indiana, Iowa, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming.
Well, that's like a lot of states. All right. But not New York. Too bad. Sorry, Ganesh, you're going to have to move.
Oh, here's an article that says, do skunks make good pets? And the answer is no.
Oh, all right.
Whole article about it.
Why not?
No, we don't need this.
Well,
they smell.
They smell. They do the thing.
They do stink famously.
They smell and they demand food.
Sounds like Austin.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with that. All right. That's the end of the episode. Good try. We'll be back next week with another episode of Let's Stop There. Thanks to Chris Linguist for our artwork. Thanks to Morris Reese for our music. Thanks to you for making it this far. If you did already, God bless you. You can find us at letsstopthere.com. Hit us up on social media at Let's Stop There. Give us a phone call, 567-309-0357. Leave us a voicemail. We will play it on the show. Tell us if you have ever had a skunk as a pet. Any thoughts on it? What else? Rate us 5 stars, please.
Tell your friends.
If you dare do it after this episode, you're going to want to do it after every episode. 5 stars, folks. Rate us. That's it. That's all. That's the whole episode. We'll catch you next time at Let's Stop There.